We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What is going on, Roto Grinders? Dean here at Dean7904 if you want to get all technical on me. It is, dude, it is 10:34 in the morning on the East Coast, 7:34 on the West Coast. Good morning, West Coast. Hope you got yourself some coffee. 9:34 Tennessee time, of course, that we just have the flagship show here at Roto Grinders. It's called Grinders Live. It's sponsored by Fans and Drafts. And joining me today, a wide awake Pepsi 7. Pepsi, what's going on? How's Canada these days?
Canada's still cold, unfortunately. Just like the East Coast of the States, we get similar weather. So still a little too cold for my take. But it starts to warm up soon, which is really nice. I'm looking forward to the better weather. And what's with the 10:30 a.m. Eastern? So this is too early, man.
Oh, this is the show, man. I know it's the flagship show, but this is the cranky show. Unless, Stevie, you're probably on like an entirely different schedule because you do the morning grind. I think you do that at night. I assume you still do that at night. And I know you have a child. I believe you have a wife now. Congratulations. How does your schedule work?
I went to bed at like 4. Woke up at like 9:30. So yeah, my schedule's a little different than you guys, I think. But yeah, ready to get it going here.
You sound wide awake. Are you on some enhancers or something like that? You take a shot of energy or?
There you go, the monster. The monster. There you go.
Yeah, there's this little energy drink that helps. But yeah, I feel awake. Like my body's used to like 4 to 6 hours of sleep every night, so it doesn't really bother me that much.
Pepsi was dropping the sevens on me before the show. You're saying I was tilting, and I'm not sure. Hopefully you guys can't hear it, but like, it's like a live version of Sim City outside my door. There's some bangings. I'm going to do my best to mute myself.
I was so curious what that was. I didn't ask.
Yeah, I apologize for that, and just started banging and hammering, and it's good times outside my door. And again, when I'm not talking, I'm going to do my best to mute. Yeah, I got to mute myself. Later on in the show, we're going to do a screen share. We're going to show some premium stuff, take you guys behind the scenes. Of course, we're going to give our stacks. We're going to give our dongs. Home run predictions, that would be, if you guys are not aware how that works in baseball. Yeah, we're going to break it down as far. We're going to focus on the main slate, or the main early slate, the five-gamer. Kind of take a screenshot, Pepsi, of this five-game slate, and it's about pitching, right? A lot of good arms.
Absolutely. Got to love the arms today here. I think that I think the edge goes with Corey Kluber, especially if you're looking for cash games. That matchup versus the Twins is just too good, and Kluber's the kind of guy that can go pretty deep into this game without throwing a lot of pitches here and generate a lot of strikeouts. I believe over 24%. I thought White Sox lineup strikes out, so it's a good strikeout rate. Kluber's in a real good spot here. I think there's a couple of great pivots, too, if you're looking GPP-wise. Herman Marquez is in a pretty good spot versus Charlie Morton. Like both of those guys as well.
Oh, Pepsi. You know, the man's just going to – he's going to sign a $100 million contract. He was one of the best pitchers in all of baseball last year for the second half. Can we pronounce his name correctly just one time?
Herman Marquez? That's wrong?
Stevie knows it, I think. Maybe. Maybe I'm setting them up here.
I thought it was Marquez, too.
Airmon. It's Airmon Marquez.
Airmon. I've never heard anybody pronounce Airmon. I think you're just making things up at this point.
Why would I make this up? It's Airmon Marquez. Yeah, we'll talk about him soon enough. He was excellent at his first start. Of course, it was against the Marlins, so whatever. But, nice ballpark again in Tampa. You know, he is in the AL, so he's got to face the DH, but he is also protected by a fine ballpark as well. But, Stevie, we're taking an overtime. We're taking a screenshot as far as the slate. Pepsi's talking about the Klubot. Is Kluber your favorite pitcher if money's not a thing?
I don't think so. I like Kluber a lot, but I like Marquez. You know, you get the matchup against Tampa. He's in Tampa, which is one of the best pitchers' ballparks in baseball. So Marquez is my number one right now, but I don't think you can really, like, make an argument for anybody of the top three being better than the other one. Nola, Kluber, and Marquez are just all, like, really top arms here.
Yeah, worth noting, by the way, all the lineups are out with the exception of the later game that starts at 1 o'clock. Oh, no, they're all out. We got all of them. Nice, Doug.
All of them.
Yeah, you got to love it. You know, Stevie, grinding basketball and pivoting over to – I mean, thank you so much, baseball, as far – and if people were concerned about, like, I guess baseball, they have this new thing as far as they got to shoot the lineups to the commissioners first or whatever. We're good to go. We got all the lineups out there. Every once in a while you get a late scratch, things like that happen. I believe E5, Edwin Encarnacion, he was scratched late last night. It doesn't happen too often. It is worth noting there are some injuries early. Yandy Diaz, you'll notice, is not in the tip. Atlanta, he got hurt. And then, of course, you spoke about Nola there, Stevie. Lineup a little bit easier today with no Trey Turner. He'll be out for – he's got a finger. He's going to be out for like a month or so, give or take. And we saw Wilmer Defoe crack that lineup. little inside joke for a pre-show conversation. Oh,
still a bad joke. Still a bad joke.
It was just for the two of you, though. Like, it was just – I figured you guys would appreciate that. I guess not. Well, all right, Pepsi, so much. I guess, Pepsi, you don't appreciate that? No? Just shaking your head?
Certainly. You can certainly do better than that, that's for sure.
Yeah. So
not a lot better. I mean, we know you well. Not a lot better, but a little bit.
How does that affect things? You know, Trey Turner, legit hitter. Obviously, he gets on base. He's a big pest. Replaced by Defoe. How much does that boost up Nola? When you compare him to the Klubot, when you compare him to Airmon Marquez.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a bump for him. I just don't love his matchup. Washington's still a tough lineup. They don't strike out a ton. They got a lot of contact that lineup. They're pretty deep. I mean, not all these batters are threatening, but they're guys that you don't really want to face. They're pesky a little bit, too. And again, not a lot of strikeup outside here. So Nolan's not a guy that's really on my radar. I'm not playing a lot of lineups here today. So like I said, Kluber, I believe, is the safest play in cash. Airmon for Marquez is my guy in GPPs. I even like Morton as well if we consider price point. And Nola's a little more expensive than some of these guys as well. So for me, Nola misses a cut today. I think he's fine. I just think we're getting safe for a better upside with other guys that are cheaper today.
By the way, just a heads up, if you guys are watching us on YouTube, feel free to like and subscribe. Devin, our fabulous producer, D-Train, as the kids call him, if you know him well enough, he is compiling all the questions you guys asked there, and we're going to know, later on in the show, we're going to do our best to knock out every single question that has been asked. Feel free to join Rotor Grinders as well. Jump on over here to rotorgrinders.com. Join our chat. And I just noticed in our chat an absolutely inexplicable take here, Stevie. Kluber, according to Bosbro, Kluber is washed up. That's absurd, right?
His velocity was actually up in his first start. It was up from his season average last year. So I think he's far from washed up.
Yeah, that seems to be a pretty egregious take. Pepsi, you were talking about, you know, pivots as far as tournament pivots. Is, you know, again, there's 10 pitchers taking the bump today. Aramon Marquez is an awesome pitcher. Klubot's an awesome pitcher. Noah's a really good pitcher. I don't know how cute you want to get, but, like, when you speak of tournaments, like, Luis Castillo is a guy that can be completely volatile when he's on. You know, he's got a big upside. Freddy Peralta, even more so as far as his variance. He can strike out 7 or 8. He can walk 5 or 6. Are we ambitious enough to consider these guys in tournaments?
I mean, I don't think it's necessary today, really. There's not a lot of bats I want to pay up for, so I don't have to go that route. I can understand it more so on DK when you're getting two pitchers involved in there. Perhaps Castillo's interesting after that big first start, but for another $700, I feel a lot better starting Charlie Morton. So for me, Castillo, Peralta missed the cut for me today. I don't hate it as an SP2. Again, if you're playing multiple lineups today, 10-plus, sure. But I think if you're playing 3, 4, 5 lineups, I don't think I'm playing any more than 5 today at the most here. So, yeah, for me, they just missed the cut. A little too risky for me today when we got 3, maybe even 4, if you count Nola, really good aces here in good spots. I just think there's too much of a risk there.
Yeah, and bad ballpark too, obviously. Another guy that's not playing today, for what it's worth, Lorenzo Cain did not crack the lineup. So Ben Gamble is leading off for Milwaukee. So there's a cheap option. Worth noting, there's a decent chance that at some point, depending on this game goes down, Cain does enter the game, and maybe Gamble is one of the more likely candidates to get out of there, or it's a double swap of something of that sort. Just got to keep that in mind when making lineups. Stevie, you're probably a little bit more ambitious when it comes to tournaments, when it comes to, you know, taking chances as far as pitchers. Luis Castillo, Freddy Peralta, are they on your list?
Not Peralta. I think Castillo's interesting on FanDuel. If you can, like, consider his price. But the problem now, like, now that the Twins lineup has come out, there's just so much value at hitters that I don't know if you're necessarily going to need them. But on DraftKings, I think is where you're going to be playing your cheaper SP2 because they've done a really good job of pricing over there just throughout the season. So you're not going to be able to fit in a Marquez and Kluber or Nola. You're going to be fitting in one of those guys with either a Castillo. And I like Carlos Rodon. I think he's a guy that you can potentially look at. Cleveland, a lineup that is really good when they're healthy. They're just not healthy right now.
It's, you know, terrible today, Stevie. It's
really bad. Like, you know, you're always worried about Jose Ramirez. He's one of the best hitters in baseball, you know, hands down. Carlos Santana doesn't strike out a lot. But if you look at the bottom of that order, Ramirez, Allen, Perez, Moroff, like, there's 20%+ strikeout rates all in the bottom of that order. And he's a guy that looked really good in his first start. So he's a guy that I'm kind of looking at over there, maybe on DraftKings. Don't mind playing him on FanDuel if you're stacking up, like, one of the top offenses where you're going to have to pay some money. But it's more of a DraftKings thing.
I'm going to show that, by the way. We're going to do a screen share, send it up as far as the premium. Now we're going to show the Play IQ off. And some of that is free and some of that's not so much as far as what's premium, what's not. An easy way to kind of show you know, the batters that are in the particular lineup today and as far as what their K percentage is, their WOBA happens to be, their ISO, and collectively as a group. And, I just pulled it up as far as Cleveland. Again, we'll show it in a second after we get to moving on another segment or two. Outside of Jose Ramirez, who, you know, look, it's a small sample size, but he's been scuffling so far. Of course, I don't want to say he was rushed to play, but I assume he is healthy. But the rest of these dudes are pretty terrible. And like you said, it's backloaded with a bunch of guys that strike out plenty too. So, I guess Carlos Rodon is somebody that's worth considering. By the way, Bosbro has since said he was just joking in chat, so I guess I caught him in the middle of a conversation. Thank you for clarifying. Corey Kluber, not washed up. Somebody is asking a serious question about rostering Homer Bailey. We're not rostering. I mean, you know, anything can happen. It's baseball. No matter how bad of a pitcher you happen to be, you still have the advantage versus the hitter. But Pepsi, you know, this is, I guess, you know, look, if you want to be different, variance, yada, 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 you can roster Homer Bailey. That's kind of a, you know, there's some leverage to that because Minnesota is going to be pretty popular in this 5-game slate because, yeah, Homer Bailey is clearly the worst pitcher. We're not rostering Homer Bailey, right?
You know, I think that if it was a situation where we had, Houston in play, Boston on home, Coors Field action, maybe you could go to a Bailey and hope that he's just okay. But, again, there's no reason to pay up for these big bats today. And as Steve alluded to, even the Twins bats are also cheap. And Red's in there, and there's just no reason to do this today. And Homer Bailey's not a good pitcher. Sure, the ballpark's fine. The Twins' offense is not really a scary offense, but I do think the Twins get them a little bit here. So I just don't see the upside or the reason to go all the way down here today when you've got so many other good arms. Just too much opportunity cost for me.
Yes, Davey, you were excited to see J.K. break the lineup, but I was excited to see Williams Astudillo. I know he's a catcher, and he's actually on fantasy draft. He's 8-4. He's kind of expensive. And on DK, I think he's like 4 and change as well, too. You don't really want to spend a lot of money on a catcher, but he's kind of a fun catcher. He doesn't strike out, and he doesn't walk, so he's probably going to put the ball in play some here against Homer Bailey. It sounded like you approve of Minnesota's lineup today.
Yeah, I like the Minnesota lineup. I like that game. I think that game is going to be where I am attacking a lot of my hitters from. Jeff Kellogg is behind the plate there. He's a really tight zone, so I think that umpire is going to help as well as like those stacks. And both those pitchers are hot garbage. Let's just be realistic. Like, Kyle Gibson is not good. I know he had one good season. Bailey sucks. Like, this is a spot that I'm just going to load up on the bats.
I don't think Kyle Gibson sucks. Beth, do you think Kyle Gibson sucks?
I mean, he's an average pitcher. I wouldn't say he sucks, but he's certainly not a pitcher.
He sucks.
Roster. I think Stevie's on to something here a little bit, though. As you look at all these lineups and whatnot, I was a little bit on Cleveland today, and then you look at that roster, not impressed. The other game's got pretty much good pitching across the board. Yeah, a little bit of volatility and Peralta and Castilla, but still, these guys can be very good. So going to that game in Kansas City, where at least I don't think the Royals will be all that popular. He mentioned the umpire data, which I didn't get to yet, so that's interesting as well. I don't hate the idea of that. Gibson's certainly hittable. I wouldn't say he sucks, but he's hittable. Not a big strikeout guy. And if Kansas City's putting the ball in play, they got a couple of speedsters out there too. You never really know. So I don't hate the idea.
All right. So, Stevie, Kyle Gibson last year, this is including this year too. I don't know if this one start, I suppose. 21.7% K rate. That's perfectly fine. Home run the fly ball rate, 14.8%. That's probably a tick too high. We're looking at an ERA of 3.60. We don't talk about ERA so much, but, 3.60, perfectly fine. 4.25 Sierra, an XFIP of 3.91. That's fine. He's perfectly fine.
He's average, yeah.
He throws a sinker and gets ground balls. He sucks. Like, I can go right now and develop a sinker and go and do what Kyle Gibson does.
This is like the former Apple show. This is the former Pepsi, the best shortstop in all of Canada. Is that still true? Is that ultra these days?
We'll roll with that. Sounds good. If he's able to go out there and be Kyle Gibson, I can be the best shortstop in Canada.
And Stevie, you were a college pitcher at one point. Is this confirmed?
No.
Oh, you were a pitcher at one point?
No, never played baseball.
I'm glad you're just trolling me. And I feel like I'm getting a flashback. Were you not like
I was really good.
Final, and you were slugging out some homers, were you not?
Yeah, I was really good at baseball. I tore my rotator cuff 3 times, so injuries kept me from being there. So
yeah, and I was a national champion as well. I think I got to throw it out there. In baseball years ago.
We got pitcher covered.
Not one of those UCF national. It was a real.
Well, I was going to say UCF.
We won it for real.
Your national championships are a little skewed.
You can Google it, man. Go. It's on the Google machine, I imagine, somewhere. Stevie, was it you and Boggs? Wasn't Boggs a finalist as far as the Homer Derby there at Fast Draft?
Oh, it was me and Tommy G that were hitting a bunch of home runs. Boggs was FanDuel. He was a different Homer Derby.
He won it, and I think he got to shake like Bo Jackson's hand or something like that. Did you win the fast draft? Go ahead and take your victory lap if you did.
No, I was totally gassed.
You got to pace yourself, Stevie. This is important.
Yeah. I hit like I beat everybody in the first round. I stopped like 2 minutes with 2 minutes to go, and I was gassed.
You were talking about umpire data, Stevie. We have a second. It's a 5-game slate. How much does that matter? How much does that factor in for you? For me, I think I'm into the extremes. So extreme hitter, extreme pitcher. That matters to some degree. It moves the needle just a nudge. And, of course, depends upon what kind of pitcher we're talking about. Like if it's E-Rod, a guy that kind of – he needs the corners. I obviously want the pitcher's umpire. How much did you factor that in when you're rostering your pitchers?
It really just depends. Like, I think anybody last night that watched the Toronto-Baltimore game realized, like, how much Bill Miller like affects a baseball game. His strike zone is so huge. So I think there's a few umpires that have a really big zone, and you have to kind of realize which umpires those are. And then there's umpires that have really tight zones that, you know, their walk rates are a little bit higher. They don't strike out as much. The pitch counts go higher. And Jeff Kellogg is one of those guys that, like, his zone is really consistent. It's really small each and every game. So I think what you were getting onto as far as, like, the extremes is important. But just because one's extreme doesn't necessarily mean, like, you know, you have to kind of watch and see how they umpire. And I don't really expect much to change this year. These guys have been doing it for a while, and they're pretty consistent for the most part. Outside of Joe West.
Joe West is considered neutral, but, like, if you watch his games, he doesn't feel neutral, right? It's just, like, whatever his mood happens.
He's all over. He doesn't even know what a strike is anymore. Like, he is all over the place.
Well, however you feel about robo-umps, can we at least replace Joe West with a robo? Just M specifically. Are you good with that?
Nope.
Oh, you're anti-robo-ump?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why get things right when you can get them wrong?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Pepsi, jump in here.
I'm okay with the robot thing. I've been screwed so many times with so many umpires over the last couple of years. I feel like that I'm perfectly okay with it. Again, at the end of the day, you just want the call right. I love the instant replays. I don't think it drags down the time and all that too much. At the end of the day, we all want the call right. I mean, and I think even the umpires would like to get the call. They don't lose their jaws, but they want to get the call right at the end of the day. Look at poor Armando Galarraga. We wish we could go back and change that, I think.
Look at you covering for the umpires, because I know you're up and for your friends up there in Canada, because now you know both sides of it.
Jim Joyce. Poor Jim Joyce. I'm sure he would like to have had challenges back then for sure.
Yeah, but they're asking in the chat, where do you get the umpire data? You get it from the lineup HQ. I'm not sure, Stevie, do you know if it's free or if it's not free? I think you have to be premium for umpire data.
I'm pretty sure it's premium. You know, shout out to Derek Hardy. He does a great job explaining and talking about umpires. The Bat does a good job. Really breaking down which umpires, and you know, that's one of the places that I look each and every day for umpire data. So,
we talked about the arms. By the way, we just ignored Charlie Morton. He just kind of sort of in the middle, like Charlie Morton.
I brought him up. I mentioned that Morton being a little bit more expensive, barely more expensive, certainly on DK than Castillo and worth paying up for. And I mentioned Morton and Marquez are my two GPP arms outside of Kluber and Cash.
One hesitation with Morton, he's kind of an older guy, 34, 35 or so, and he had the best year of his career, 34, I believe it was last year. He only threw 85 pitches opening day. I'm not really sure if they're babying there in Toronto, Tampa, but just kind of worth noting, I suppose. But still, definitely worth considering. We haven't really talked about the bat so much. Pepsi, your favorite bat on the slate. Well, somebody we talked about as far as, you know, look, we live in the world of a salary cap. Somebody you wanted to highlight, Mr. Steal Your Girl, the flirter. Jesse Winker, that's your guy?
Yeah, I think in terms of best bang for your buck, sure. I mean, he's cheap. He's leading off. It's a left-handed bat versus Peralta. It's a good ballpark. I think that Winker, there's a number of guys in that, you know, in his price range as well. But for me, he's the top guy. This is a guy that makes good contact, doesn't strike up much. And I think he can get on base multiple times on that price point. I absolutely love that today. And, you know, you throw him in there, throw some Twins in there, any ace you want or any, you know, two mediocre pitchers, or moderately priced pitchers, I should say, and you can get the job done today. So that's the reason why I don't need to go down to these lower tiers in these arms, especially in a one-pitcher set like FanDuel. Go get the ace you prefer, throw in Jesse Winker and a few Twins bats, and you're off to the races here today.
What's your thoughts there, Stevie? You like Winker? Is he one of your favorite punts? I know you talk about Cave. Depending on where you're shopping, Cave is, he's 8K on Fantasy Draft. Not exactly a bargain. I think he's around 4 or so on DK. We talked about specifically on FanDuel, he's 2K, which he's going to be super, super popular over there. Winker is Pepsi's guy. Do you confirm? Do you deny? Who else do you like as far as somebody you're building your lineups around?
I don't know if you'll need Winker on FanDuel with the Minnesota value, but yeah. If you're playing on Fantasy Draft and DraftKings, like, Winker's just too cheap for a leadoff hitter. Peralta did not look good in his first start. I think the Reds are a sneaky stack today, so Winker batting leadoff is fine. You know, him and even Matt Kemp is cheap in the Reds today. He's batting third. You know, I hate that Joey Votto's kind of like in between those guys because Votto likes to choke up and hit ground balls into double plays. But, Winker's certainly cheap. Shebler's cheap. The whole Cincinnati outfield's really cheap on this slate.
Cheese, who's going to be on, he's going to be following us. He's going to be on Crunch Time, taking you guys all out the lock with Roth. Of course, Roth, you know, if any weather's going down. But I was reading Cheese's article, which, by the way, which is worth the price of a premium alone. And he was talking about Peralta's tendency to walk dudes and how Winker and Votto both can be incredibly patient. Like, this is the moment. Votto's going to walk. Like, Votto's going to get himself a walk. And who wants to spend that kind of money on a dude that's going to walk? To be fair, he's pretty reasonable, 7-2 on fantasy draft. But that's going to happen. And then, like, either Kemp or Eugenio Suarez, one of those guys is going to take Peralta deep. We're going to get, like, a 2-3 lead in the first inning for Cincinnati. There's your bold prediction. Other guys that are worth talking about as far as screenshot, as far as guys that impact the slate, or shall we move on? Let's just jump on, unless you have somebody, Stevie.
One of my favorite hitters on this slate is O'Hearn from Kansas City. Like, his batted ball profile here is amazing. When we're just looking at Kyle Gibson, like I was talking about how he throws a lot of sinkers, it's a very small sample size, but O'Hearn just absolutely destroyed every sinker that he saw last season. Like, almost half of his balls in play last season on sinkers where it was over 50% hard hit rate. So, like, Ryan O'Hearn's a guy that, like, he could break the slate with, like, two home runs off of Gibson as far as just looking at, like, batted ball profile stuff.
Oh, Pepsi, you wanted to talk about Bryce Harper, revenge game. Last night was his first blood revenge game. Of course, he took, I believe it was Hellboy deep, which is not particularly surprising. Tonight, he's got Adamel Sanchez. Bryce Harper, back in Washington. What are we doing here, Pepsi?
Yeah, Harper's another guy that I think is the guy that you want to get some exposure to in GPPs if you're playing the early slate here. You know, he's got the multi-homer upside. He's got the revenge factor. I'm sure he's pumped up for this series, as are, I'm sure, the Nats here. And Adamel Sanchez is more of a reverse splits pitcher, but certainly that's not going to matter much versus Harper. So I like Harper. Also like Jose Ramirez, if you can get him as well. I think that Stevie P mentioned earlier that Cleveland Indians lineup outside of Jose Ramirez isn't very good, but Jose Ramirez is very good. And I like him in cash as well if you can get there. With all the value out there, you could probably get to Ramirez in cash and a Harper in GPPs.
Let's go around the horn, boy. This is kind of like sort of our favorite cash gameplay. We're going to have a segment later where we give our tournament plays, you know, kind of the pivots. But we can do this quickly. Let's run through it as fast as possible. Stevie, your favorite catcher, just from like a cash game perspective, just from the guy most likely to put up the most fantasy points and try to factor in dollar for dollar. If you have a high guy and a low guy, feel free to share it. What do you have? Of course, fantasy draft, you don't need to roster any catchers. Who do you have for as far as the catcher spot?
I love the punt catcher. I think everybody knows that. Anybody that's ever listened to me before. So, like, Maldonado is the guy that, like, that I'm looking at. But I like the guy that you were talking about, Astudillo or whatever his name is. Astudillo against Bailey. Like, if you're paying up, it's obviously Real Muto. But, yeah, I like Maldonado. I like punting catcher, and I think he's going to have guys on in front of him today.
Williams Astudillo, I like him a good bit. I think I saw a note in spring training. It took him 50 at-bats to either strike out or walk, which is just awesome. I love that. Pepsi, what do you have for me as far as catcher?
Yeah, I'm with Stevie P for the most part. I'll throw Jason Castro in there as well in that same game. He's going to have some guys on a base in front of him, lefty versus a righty here, splits his favor. Pretty cheap, but I'm a big fan of punting catcher as well. I don't think you need to pay up for Ramuto today with Sanchez. Again, reverse splitsy, but you know, I don't mind Ramuto if he can get there, but I prefer to spend my salary elsewhere usually, so I'll throw Castro in the mix.
First, Pepsi?
Not in the lineup.
Oh, Castro, not even live. Well, there you go. So that doesn't help. So don't throw Castro in the mix there. Stay with
it's Steve. Contrarian, though. You might get a pinch hit home.
Caselli is a guy that I kind of like. He's got some pop, too. So I don't mind Caselli if you're looking for more value and a big bat. First base, Dean. I mean, I know we're talking about the early slate a little bit. I will throw in that afternoon slate. Luke Voigt's a guy that I really like at first base. But strictly on this one, I mean, maybe it's Travis Shaw at first base today. I mean, I don't mind Carlos Santana as well. I think he's a little underrated when it comes to hitting left-handed pitching. So for me, it's probably Santana or Shaw. Certainly Votto's there. We talked about it, but Votto more likely to get those two walks, and he's not hitting for power. So any of those three works just fine. I think if you're doing a red stack, I want to get Votto in there, even if he's just walking. Might score twice, might walk twice. But Shaw and Santana have that better home run upside for me.
Stevie?
Ryan O'Hearn. I talked about it a minute ago. I absolutely love O'Hearn today. The other guy, like, if you're looking for a tournament play, I think it's, like, Travis Shaw. And no, I am not putting Votto in my Cincinnati stack.
Keystone position, second base.
I can't do it.
Do you want those walks?
Yeah, sure. You know, those walks. Second base is kind of like where it drops off today. Like, I think you could play a cheap second baseman and be okay. If you want to kind of pay up, I think Moustakas is the option. Like, Castillo is really good, but where he struggles is left-handed power bats. Like, that's why, like, you can potentially stack Milwaukee here. So if you want to pay up, I think Moose is the upside guy. Like, Merrifield's a little too expensive, so I think Moose is the guy if you're paying up, or just one of these cheap guys, pretty much any of those guys.
One of the perks of rostering Merrifield, of course, he's got the the speed. Not just the stick, but he's got the wheels. Worth noting, Kyle Gibson's been very, very good as far as holding on runners. I was taking a peek at it. The worst Kyle Gibson. How did you define him? You said he sucks. He doesn't suck at holding on runners. I think he allowed 3 stolen bases the last 2 seasons, give or take. I was checking out his page before the show started. Pepsi, Keystone position, what do you have for me? Brian Dozier gets a bump. He's batting second today. Are you enticed, or it's Aaron Nola? Like, why would you want to do that?
I don't need to pick on Aaron Nola. As much as I don't love Nola today, I don't love picking on a Dozier. I like Moustakas as well. I'm right there with Stevie P. I think that you can get to Castillo with these left-handed power bats in that ballpark, which is why I'm disappointed a little bit that Grandal is not in there. He'd have been a nice play, but I do like Moustakas. Merrifield, again, you could pay up for him. Jonathan Scope on FanDuel.
Mouthwash.
We talked about how cheap these Twins bats are. And again, there's so many. This is why you want to play Winker over there as well, because you can only get 4 Twins in your lineup, and there's so many of them that you want to get that are cheap. But if you can't pay up, but Jonathan Scope is way too cheap over there.
So, Pepsi, you're 0 for 2 now. Guess who's not playing today?
See, 10:30 a.m. show's killing me. I'm scrambling to get my work in. I'm doing all the research, and I haven't had a chance to go every single lineup. So,
one more, you're out. You're off the show. You're going to be out of here.
Yeah, that's frustrating here. I'm looking at we're all excited about seeing Jake Cave and looking at the lineup. I never went through it thoroughly. So never mind Scope. Go with Jake Cave instead, who's not a second baseman.
Yeah, you know, Pepsi, here at rotogrinders.com, we have lineups pages.
As I said, let's not forget, I went to bed last night late, and I went 11 a.m. show to wake up to a 10:30 start. So I've been scrambling a little bit this morning here.
I'm going to give my tournament pivots here now, I suppose. Derek Dietrich, really, really bad against lefties, but he cracked the lineup there against the righty in Peralta. Nice ballpark as well, too. Don't mind him for a potential dong. And Brandon Lau. Brandon Lau is another guy that's got some pop. I don't really want to pick on Aaron or Marquez so much, but don't hate him for a tournament. You do have Lurie Garcia leading off, but, of course, he's facing the Klubot. That's not exactly an appealing spot. Pepsi, redeem yourself. Who do you like at shortstop?
Shortstop's tough. Why not
begin to talk about my third baseman, Dean?
Although we haven't jumped, I went to short, and then you'll go shortstop, then we'll go third.
I'm just messing with you.
I thought I goofed up for a second.
Yeah, I thought you did too. Actually, I thought we're gonna see some rattled sevens in the chat here, but maybe Dean's got control. But shortstop's tough. I'm not really in love with anybody's shortstop today, to be honest with you. I mean, I think Jean Segura is probably the most reasonably priced guy. And again, with Sanchez having those reverse splits, he's sitting in the 2-hole. I like Segura a little bit there today. And obviously, Modesty is the guy that you can also pay up for at any point. But as you mentioned, Kyle Gibson, pretty good holding runners on. But still, I think that Merrifield and Modesty could both have multi-hit games versus Gibson, who apparently sucks.
Stevie, shortstop and then jump over to third.
Yeah, shortstop is loaded today. Shortstop's a position you kind of want to pay up for. Yeah, Kyle Gibson is good at holding on runners. But even if you look at, like, premium reports, like, the advantage still goes to a guy like Mondesi if he's going to run here. So yeah. Mondesi is just quick. He's very good at reading a pitcher. So I think Mondesi is your top option. But I like Polanco too. Like, if we're looking at that game like we were talking about, like, Polanco here in this spot, I think he's off to a really strong start to the season. He's been hitting the ball really well. So Polanco and Mondesi, I think shortstop's the spot you pay up for, or you just absolutely go down and pay for one of those cheap guys. But I like the expensive guys. And then you said third base finally. Gosh, Dean. I like Suarez a lot here. You know, you mentioned Dietrich, and Dietrich's a really solid option here today for sure. But when we look at, like, Freddy Peralta, just from the outside looking in, he's a two-pitch pony. Like, he throws two pitches against righties. He throws fastballs and curveballs. So when you're throwing fastballs 75-plus percent of the time, You just play good hitters, and Suarez is just a good hitter. So he's a guy that I like here. And obviously Jose Ramirez. Like, those two guys, if you're paying up, are the two guys. If you want to pay down, I think Dietrich's another guy you could look at third base as well.
Hot quarter, Pepsi?
Yeah, basically Stevie P said it all there. I mean, Travis Shaw we can throw in there. Again, it's the lefties versus Castillo. I don't mind them. I think Jose Ramirez is the guy you pay up for. If you're not going that route, I think Shaw's in there, and then there's multiple options there in the mid-tier.
Pepsi, knock out the outfield.
Yeah, it's Twins, man. Kepler, Rosario, Winker, Schebler. Those are your cheapy guys that you want to get in there across the industry here. That's the way you make it work today. Matt Kemp, as Stevie mentioned, is also in there as well. Nelson Cruz. Actually, Cruz didn't make the lineup. See, now I'm on top of things. Cruz did not make the lineup. Well, Cruz is in there. That's strange. Okay, he's batting third, I've seen. So Cruz, another Twin that's got some home run upside there. Like the Twins today, they're just awful cheap. And, of course, we're paying up. Bryce Harper's that one guy in GPPs that I have to get exposure to.
All right, Stevie, what do you like in the outfield?
Yeah, the Twins. you know, Kepler and Cave, obviously. Rosario, like all three of those guys are very much in play here for me. Outside of those guys, you know, we talked about Winker being cheap. I think he's certainly in play. Yelich is probably the best play on the entire slate. Like, he's just off to an incredible start. You know, obviously, like, Harper. Yeah, like, if you're wanting to pay up, I think it's Harper, Yelich, Cruz. You're wanting to pay down, I think you just look at all those Minnesota bets. One of these days, like, the Rockies are going to break out of their whatever funk they're in and, like, Blackman and Dahl and those
guys. It's going to happen when they're in Coors, though, right, I think?
Like, yeah, probably. But I'm just saying, like, Blackman and Dahl and those guys are really good hitters, and eventually they're going to get it going.
I don't really want to pick a Morton.
Yeah, I don't want to pick a Morton. Like, I got to say, I really don't like the early show here because I like to see the lineup slowly come out and have the time to kind of look at everything. And I'm really frustrated with these early slates here, trying to figure out what's in the lineup here because I'm missing guys here and I'm not looking good here, Dean and Stevie. So I apologize for those guys in the that are missing the lineup here. But I like to take my time with lineups. And, man, it was a rush this morning.
Yeah, but I do want to mention, we're going to do our screen share in just a second. Premium, we're just going to give you guys a taste as far as the premium lineup HQ, Cheese's Million Dollar Musings. That's not just a cute name. Cheese banked $1 million 2 times. I believe both times with just a single dart, if I'm not mistaken, in big-time tournaments. Our expert rankings, which is our CVRs, which, you know, the time change as far as the show means I did not put mine up in time, but I'll post it before the lock, and, of course, I'll do that right after the show. Crunch time with Roth, his weather. You get Cheese today as far as answering all your questions in chat. I'll wipe the lock. Ownership percentage, the premium podcast, which is like 4 or 5 days a week. That's Cheese, that's Andy, that's Nate, that's Sammy. Yeah, the expert survey, ownership percentage, yada, yada, yada. By the way, I do want to mention, if you guys are watching us on YouTube, feel free to like and subscribe. Jump over here to rotorunners.com. And if you're asking questions in YouTube, our fabulous producer, Devin D-Train, he's compiling those questions. We're going to do our best to answer as many as possible later on the show, as well as the questions here in our Roto-Grinders chat for our RG members. All right, it is time for our premium share. And again, we did this the other day as far as Put IQ and myself and Stevie referenced it earlier in the show, just kind of talking about, Put IQ just shows you the exact lineup against the pitcher, and it shows you what the strengths of the lineup happen to be, the weakness of the lineup happen to be. And if we pull up this Cleveland lineup, it is bad. It's pretty dreadful. And it's dummy proof Pepsi. Like, green is good, red is bad. The more red, like, the redder it is, the worse it is. The greener it is, the better it is. And if you take a look at this lineup as far as the K perspective, K's are king when you're rostering pitchers. I don't know why I'm picking Carlos Rodon, but just kind of worth noting here. You know, the back of this lineup, Allen strikes out 28%. That's red. Perez, 29%. Morov, 30%. Not a huge sample as far as the plate appearances, but that's the last two seasons. And then, of course, you get the pitcher profile as well. As far as their general perspective, you can kind of scroll down and get the splits, left versus lefties versus righties, ground ball percentage, fly ball percentage, K percentage, walk percentage, hard hits, soft hits, medium hits. You get heat maps. And this is for every single game. You can kind of jump around. That's the Chicago-Cleveland game. We can go ahead and jump and see, which game do we want to see, Pepsi? Throw out a pitcher that's interesting today.
Let's look at the Tampa Bay Colorado game where you got two very good pitchers.
All right. And it's interesting. We see a lot of green as far as the ISO on the Tampa Bay side, which is, I guess, somewhat concerning, but not so much because it's Aaron Marquez and the ballpark's pretty, you know, conducive to subduing those homers. And Marquez is not a fly ball guy necessarily. But look at those K percentages. Look at all that red. It's popping all over the place. Mike Zunino, of course, we know he's got plenty of pop, and he strikes out 36% of the time. Willy Adames, young prospect, but also he's not a complete project. Striking out 27% of the time, collectively 25.4% of the time Tampa strikes out the last 2 years against righty Stevie, Herman Marquez. He's popping, is he not?
Yeah, he's a really good pitcher too. Like it just doesn't like it doesn't hurt. So the only thing that hurts him today is Joe West is behind the plate, but you know, Joe West is not going to be the determining factor. Dean, if you want to really quickly like switch over to Milwaukee at Cincinnati, we can look at Freddie Peralta. And like this is something that you can do with just about anybody when you're wanting to do a deep dive on somebody. You look at their pitch types. If we're scrolling down here and we're looking at pitch type comparison, we see that like Peralta is really just throwing two pitches, and you can look at he's throwing 90 miles an hour. So we scroll down to fastballs 90 to 92. We compare and we look at who's good at that range, and then we're looking at like who's hitting curveballs. Like you want to switch it to right-handed bats, you want to look at curveballs. You see that like since he hits curveballs well and they hit that fastball range well, you could do this with everybody and you could really get a nice batted ball profile on just about any pitcher or any hitter that you really want to. So like Plate IQ Premium or just Plate IQ in general, like there's so much to be learned just from playing on Plate IQ for 2 or 3 hours a day.
There you go. Thank you, Stevie, for taking the reins there. And you know, I don't really dig in that much as far as like versus fastballs versus curveballs, and that's something that's kind of sort of interesting. And not just versus fastballs, but you can do the versus fastballs 88 and the 90 per hour, 99 miles per hour, or 90 miles per hour, 90 to 92, 92 to 94, 94 to 96, and then anything higher than 96. You can break it down that much. It's really, really specific. Have at it. And I think most of this stuff is free. I'm fairly certain. Don't quote me on it. But some of the premium is, some of the premium isn't. The premium reports, I believe, are not free, which, again,
yeah, premium report. Like, dashboard's free. The premium reports and the premium leaderboards, the ratings and stuff like that are pretty – I'm pretty sure they're all premium. Like, if you're looking at premium reports, I think one of the most important parts, like, premium reports, if we do have a second here still, like, you can go over to Kansas City, you can look at premium reports, and you can go to I think it is Context Report, and you can kind of see, like, who you're looking at for, like, the stolen base upside. So if you scroll down to, like, Mondesi, you see, like, how big his takeoff rating is, his success rating in this in his threat to run if he gets on base. Even though Kyle Gibson's really good at holding people on, like Mondesi, like we talked about early in the show, is so good at getting a big break. Like he becomes a guy that has a lot of stolen base, you know, threat. And you can see this kind of stuff on premium reports, and you can kind of like find your cheap value plays that maybe nobody's on by using Plate IQ and really looking at matchup factors and context report.
But I clicked on a premium leaderboards, and you know it talks about the threat for stealing bases. And John Lester, we know, is not particularly good at holding on runners, so that's why, of course, this is not this slate, but just kind of worth noting going forward. It's just good information. Andy Urenciarte, Ozzy Albies, and Carlos Rodon's another guy doesn't hold on runners particularly well. So Leonis Martinez jumping as far as the stolen base threats. That's it. That's our screen share. Hope you all enjoyed it. We're gonna give you like a taste every single day, something different. Today happened to be Plate IQ, and we're able to do our maybe our rankings. I know you did the lineup HQ as far as your salary relief players. I think you were doing it while you might have been on the show. I imagine you plugged in Jake Cave for FanDuel.
Yeah. Had to update Jake Cave over there for FanDuel as we were getting started here for sure.
All right. 17 minutes before you step aside and get out of here. Pivot, stacks, dongs. Then we're going to turn it over to chat. We're going to answer all your questions. We talked about all our guys we're kind of focusing on. Pepsi, give me a pivot. Give me somebody that we haven't talked about just yet, but it might be worth a pivot in tournaments.
I think we've already kind of talked about everybody. Maybe Philadelphia flies under the radar a little bit just because everybody's talking Cincy. We're talking the Kansas City Minnesota game because they're cheap. Milwaukee and playing that ballpark, so perhaps Philly is the play today versus a decent pitcher in Sanchez.
Peps, Stevie, what do you have for me as far as pivots outside of the guys you've talked about so far?
Nah, really, like, pretty much talked about my pivots. Like, O'Hearn is a guy that I expect to be really low-owned on this on a smaller slate, and I think he's, like, my favorite pivot on the slate. I don't think a lot of people are going to play Ryan O'Hearn. I'm trying to see. I was trying to see what his projected ownership was, and that's not – projected ownership's not out yet. So, like, O'Hearn's probably my favorite as far as just like, I think he hits a home run today.
Favorite stack, Stevie? Give me somebody off the board as far as stacks as well, too. And I go, again, if people are paying attention, obviously I know you like Minnesota, but feel free to reiterate and maybe a stack off the board as well.
Is Philly off the board? Like, is that like a sneaky stack? Are people going to be stacking Philly today? Because like, I think they're really, really interesting as far as just full on stack here. You know, we talked about Bryce Harper, but like Anibal Sanchez was really good last season. Like he had a really high ground ball rate. He threw like 18 pitches. So like, I think he's okay. But like this lineup's really good. They have Harper, they have Hoskins, Realmuto kind of is there. Herrera's really cheap. McCutcheon's off to a really strong start. He doesn't like strike out a lot. Like there's a lot of contact and yeah, like this lineup's just really, really solid. So I'm going to be stacking Philly a lot this season.
Pepsi?
I just told you, basically, Philly was my off-the-board GPP pivot.
Okay.
I mean, and Stevie alluded to it as well. I mean, yeah. You know, since he's cheap, Minnesota's cheap, they're going to be popular. I think Philly's the one team that could go off that, you know, a little more difficult to stack. And I guess Stevie also on Kansas City a little bit there, as he mentioned, he liked that game in general.
Let me ask you this. It's a slate, five-game slate, a lot of good pitchers on here. How much do we have to stack? Like you can win, tournaments without stacking, obviously. Maybe pick two guys here, two guys there. And, you know, I don't know if I have to stack per se. Well, what's your thoughts on that, Pepsi?
Yeah, I think on a 5-game slate, any of these smaller slates, I don't have to stack either. 2-3-2s, you know, things like that are ways you could do it because, you know, I want to worry about the pitching first. And it's generally not a slate like today with all this good pitching. We don't really see one team going off. Yeah, the Twins are cheap. But I'm not necessarily in love with them that I think they're going to score 10-plus runs. It's just about value. Same with the Reds here, too. I don't love to pick on Peralta, but some of these bats, like the entire outfield, is really cheap. So I'm perfectly fine just kind of picking up value bats and getting a mixture of Martin, Marquez, and Kluber today.
Steve, you have a thought on that? Like, do you always stack? Is it slate-dependent? What's your thought as far as this slate specifically?
Yeah, so I make like 3 to 5 lineups for baseball for the most part. Play 3-entry max, 5-entry max, single entry stuff. And like it's just going to depend on the slate. I do like stacking on this slate. I think that it's the first time outside of opening day, it's the first time we're getting day games. It's going to be a little bit warmer. The ball might be traveling a little bit more. I think we could see some teams put up a lot of runs. And like the other thing about like stacking on this slate is we have – like we have what 10 options at pitcher, and I would say at least half of them are in good spots. So like, you know, that eliminates a lot of the offenses unless you're stacking against good pitchers.
All right, got about 12 minutes before you step aside and make way for crunch time. Gonna yield to the chat as far as questions in a second. I see them loading up now. Load up your questions. Before you do that, let's give out our dong, Stevie. Give me 3 dudes that are gonna go yard today at 3 different price points. I feel like O'Hearn's is a lock to make it to this conversation. It's going to be a theme of and the show.
I'm calling Cave M with your O'Hearn. I'm giving Cave.
Let's just pick his homers for him. Why not? Stevie, are those two on the board?
Means I'm really transparent, right? Like it means that. Like, you know, we're getting my guys. Yeah. You know, my cheap guy is obviously Jake Cave. I think he's a guy that has really he's just a power bat. He's either gonna strike out a few times or hit a home run. O'Hearn towards the top, and I was just thinking about like a mid-range guy. Is Moustakas mid-range?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I'll take the tacos.
All right, Pepsi, see him and raise him.
Yeah, top tier Bryce Harper, mid tier Carlos Santana, and for value, I was debating on Winker versus Schebler, so I'll just mention them both.
Well, that's a great move. Like that, you get 4. You get 4 darts.
Shevler's got more home run upside, I guess. Fucking dongs.
Shevler, it's a 3-run homer in the first inning. There you go. Mark it down. Who else do I like? Oh, I think Dietrich's pretty interesting too. I guess I like Cincinnati because I think they got some. So they're going to bang out a couple off Peralta. How about that? There's my dongs for y'all. All right, well, let's yield to the chat. Let's see what's on their mind. What they want to talk about. Bunch of questions loaded up. Got to scroll up there. Yeah, and I think I'm going to close the screen share of Devin too early. I'm not really sure. I apologize if I did. Hopefully, I didn't derail the things too much. Well, this question's got to be for Stevie. O'Hearn or Votto DK tournaments? I feel like I know where you're going.
Yeah, it's O'Hearn. I like Joey Votto as a baseball player, and I respect what he tries to do as a baseball player. But for fantasy, like, I hardly ever play Votto. He has those multi-home run games every once in a while, but Votto hardly ever beats you throughout the season. Even on a five-game slate, like, Votto's just not going to make my builds just because he's a really good hitter in real life. He gets two strikes on him, he chokes up, he tries to put the ball in play. That's terrible for DFS. We want our first basemans to be out there trying to hit a home run when it's a full count, when it's two strikes and no balls. Like, we want our power bats, and, you know, it's always going to be pretty much anybody instead of Votto for me at first base when we're taking up that spot.
Yeah, Votto cares more about his real-life baseball team than your fantasy team.
He does. He does.
He's selfish.
It's perfectly okay, right? Like, you know, but we have to understand that when we're talking DFS. Like, the guy is a really, really good real-life hitter, and he gives two shits about how many fantasy puts he points up.
All right, pick one of these three, Pepsi. Schebler, Kemp, or Gamble?
Schebler.
Rodon or Gibson? I'm going to ask this of Pepsi because I already know what Stevie's answer is going to be. Gibson or Rodon?
It's Rodon.
Stevie, Klubot or Marquez, GPP?
Marquez.
Let's see. Okay, so have you tried to build lineups on FBA's draft or on DK? They're asking basically a strategy as far as building lineups. You know, Stevie, Kluber and Marquez or Nola, or are we paying down to fit in some bats? Like, how much are you sacrificing to go with double, you know, premium arms?
I just updated this on the expert survey as well. I'm going to use Rodon as my SP2 on DraftKings today to fit in some bats, use some of the cheap guys. You can fit in like a Marquez, a Kluber, a Nola, and a Rodon and still have plenty of bats. So with that Cleveland lineup being as bad as it is, really only worrying about two people, I like Rodon a lot. As your SP2 on fantasy draft and DraftKings.
What's your thoughts there, Pepsi?
Yeah, I don't mind that strategy. Actually, I was tinkering this morning here with Marquez and Morton and still having almost 4K per bat. So you can do that as well. But looking at that Cleveland Indians lineup, as we've done since we've been on the air here, it is ugly. And again, really, Santana Ramirez only two bats you're concerned with. So I'm on board with that, too. It's 7K. You can certainly upgrade some bats. So I don't mind Rodon as an SP2 as well.
All right. They're asking about weather in Cleveland. I Roth's article, I assume, is out. He does update it. And, of course, he'll give you the most up-to-date on Crunch Time Live. I wanted to show Roth's weather tool off, too. I just got to give you guys a taste of what that is. That's pretty impressive. You know, it tells you basically like conditions, what the, you know, in the based upon a certain amount of times that happens in the past, if it were more likely to see homers or less likely to see homers, but, you know, as far as runs, the percentage more or less, it's really, really interesting. He talks about it. And he, like, Roth is not somebody who's a baseball savant, but he'll give his overs and unders, and he'll tell you who he likes based upon the weather. And I know he keeps track of that in the Sharpset app, and I believe he's well ahead of the field on that one. And he talked about the Yankees yesterday. It was like a 3-1 game. He liked the under in that game. So there you go. Victory lap for Roth. Hunter Dozier, FanDuel, GPP. Stevie.
Hunter Dozier?
Yeah.
He's in Kansas City game. He's playing.
He's an outfielder for the Royals. He's got a much more intimidating name than he does as far as an intimidating
guy. Here, I'll give you an idea. I love that game, and I'm stacking a few different ways, and that guy is not even remotely even on my radar.
By the way, Stevie,
he's hitting two home runs.
Are you going to employ the 9-1-2 one of these days for Kansas City when they face like a John Lester or something like that? How much
yes.
fun is that going to
oh,
be?
Yes. Oh, yes. Like, without a doubt, not thinking twice about it. Like, anytime we get a guy that we can run on, like, oh, yeah. Awesome. Like, Kansas City is going to steal so many bases this season.
Yeah. You talked about Adalberto Mondesi. He had it was kind of a little league inside the parker, but I guess there was no errors with the inside the park home run last night showing off the wheels. Pepsi, who's going to be facing the Phillies in the World Series, Pepsi? Not your Blue Jays.
I think, you know what, until all the injuries were happening, I was thinking it looked like the Yankees were making the right. Houston's still going to be tough to beat. They got all that young pitching down there, too, coming up. So I think their pitching is gross, or their hitting is gross, too. But I'll say the Yankees, just to be a little different, because I think Houston's a big favorite. I don't think the Phillies get there, but it'd be interesting to see Phillies and the Yankees. I hate the Yankees, but they've done a lot of good things. They are pretty loaded, but I still think Houston's the team to beat.
Stevie's going to say the Red Sox.
Hey, you know, we are the defending champs. So, you know.
Oh, you're also rocking the hat.
Real defending champs, Dean.
I love the Red Sox. Let me just say this. I tend to cheer for the Red Sox for some reason when the Jays are out. I don't know why. AL East rival. And I hate the Yankees, but I just think the Yankees have passed the Red Sox, and I still think Houston's the team to beat there. So, hey, you won the World Series. You got nothing to complain about, Stevie.
we're yeah, our arms are the biggest key, like, for the Red Sox this season. The pitchers don't look that great.
Is Chris Sale throwing the ball underhand in these days? What's going on with Chris Sale?
He, like, his velocity has been down at the start of the seasons for years now. And, yeah. like, last night he just threw a bunch of junk, and it worked. He didn't strike anybody out, but, like, he had a really good outing. He just didn't K anybody.
Who cares less about your fantasy team, Joey Votto or Chris Sale?
Sale. It's been known for years that he'll, like, take his velocity down and, like, throw a bunch of junk and just pitch to contact. He did that with Chicago for a while.
Yeah, for a full season he did that there. But he's also a little behind, too, right? We understand, too. He didn't get all the innings that a lot of pitchers did, so he's got to be smart early on here.
I got a twofer for you, Pepsi. This is for FanDuel Cash. Dietrich and Maldonado versus Hanley and Schebler.
Hanley and Schebler.
Yeah, I like two of those. Well, yeah. All right. Here's another twofer for you, Pepsi, as far as pitchers. Which pairing do you prefer better, Morton and Peralta or Gibson? Oh, boy. Gibson and Kluber.
Boy, there's combinations out there that are better than that. I guess it's Morton Peralta. I can't get on board with Gibson at all. There's just no upside here.
I'm not on Peralta today. I see it. Like, the upside's there. Definitely wouldn't play
that. Upside there. I don't know. I mean, I'm not playing either Peralta or Gibson if that helps. We talked about going down to Rodon, and you can go to any ace you want, or going with the Morton-Marquez combination. So that's what I would suggest.
You have a thought, Matt Stevie?
Gibson stinks. Peralta's a two-pitch pony.
Well, they're on different sides. You're saying start over, basically. You don't like either side.
Yeah. Like, did you not listen to the show? Did you not watch the show?
I've been here the whole time.
I'm just saying, like, if you have two combos that have two pitchers that I don't like, restart.
Cash games, Hoskins or Votto, Stevie?
Hoskins. Again, like, I like Votto. He's safer probably, but I want the upside. If I'm going to pay up for one of those bats, it's going to be Hoskins.
It's cash games, though. Aren't we looking to be safe in cash games?
Nope.
Like, Votto's going to get you more than zero, but he's not going to get you more than, like, 10.
Well, yeah. you don't assume he will. He could hit a home run. Yeah, I think Votto's the better cash game play, a little cheaper, too.
Pepsi, Realmuto and Segura versus Maldonado and Mondesi.
Realmuto and Segura.
You have a thought on that, Stevie?
Didn't even hear it.
Realmuto and Segura versus Maldonado and Mondesi.
I mean, I look punt and catcher, but I think the other one's the better play.
This is a good question. Can you play Airmon Marquez and Charlie Morton? I say you can. I guess you can make the argument you're hurting your upside as far as getting two W's, but the W is not that important. And I can absolutely see this game being 1-0 in the seventh inning. 6.5 as far as the total. I know Colorado is a scary team. That's scary laundry, but a lot of that's scary. And Coors, that week, that lineup is particularly weakened, especially with Murphy being out. Once you get past, you know, Blackman and Arenado and Story, it's not particularly frightening for me. And I think Morton's pretty solid, so I'm okay with that. Peps, are you okay with Morton and Marquez in the same lineup?
That's what I suggested on DK. That's my number one go-to for GPPs there. Again, you're almost at 4K per bat, even Marquez and Morton in there. So that's my number one. Again, you can go down to Rodon. I don't mind it. And you get upgrades as well, and I'll probably do that as well. But I love the Marquez-Morton combination.
You're okay with that, Stevie?
Yeah, no issues whatsoever. If you're doing it on DraftKings, 4 points for the win matter. But I think that on this slate, I think you can play both those guys, no problem.
Yeah, they're talking in the chat about Joe West being behind the plate there. And, like, technically he's neutral, but he's just
– He is awful. Neutral because one inning he calls a lot of strikes, and the next inning he calls – he's just neutral because he's so inconsistent.
He's just back there singing his country songs. You know he has a country album?
Awful. He's inconsistent from batter to batter, not even inning to inning. If the catcher and him are joking and laughing, the catcher's getting the calls. But batter says a word to him, next thing you know, everything's a strike. That's just who Joe West is. So
he's the worst. One more before we step aside and get out of here, Pepsi. Polanco or Segura?
Segura for me.
I'll tell you, if you're going to listen to somebody sing, you're going to listen to Cheese sing. Cheese is good. Much better singer than Joe West. He's not going to be singing in crunch time, but he will be up next with Roth. Roth will let you know what's going down as far as the weather. That starts in about 15 minutes or so as far as if you guys are premium members, it's worth noting that the crunch time, if you guys have not noticed, you're getting an extra 15 minutes. They're 45 minutes now. Again, they take you all the way to lock. They usually go beyond lock, too, if there's more questions, if things have not locked just yet as far as, DK with late swap and things like that. All right, Stevie, give me a final thought as far as this slate.
Choke.
Bad timing for me.
Stevie's choking.
Way to close strong.
Stack the Royals. I think that's the team that's going to have a big day today. And, you know, we don't really necessarily always stack the Royals, but the Royals are my stack. Carlos Rodon's my cheap pitcher, and Marquez is the guy that's going to bring it home.
Pepsi, final thought?
Yeah, I think Kluber's your safe guy in cash. Love Marquez and Morton and GPPs. I think on, you know, DraftKings fantasy draft, as we talked about, Marquez and Morton's a nice combination. Twins and Reds are going to be popular, but they're cheap. That's how you get it done. And if Stevie's on the Royals, I think the Phillies are a little more difficult because they're expensive, are the GPP stack that breaks the slate.
Had a good time, fellas. He's Stevie. He's Pepsi. Hopefully I'm guessing right. I'm Dean. Thanks for watching. Enjoy your baseball. We're out of here. Oh!